It is a beautiful morning. Now, there is one boat, of course, very close to us this morning. That is the Gold Coast Australia, which has crossed the finishing line first down at Shrove. Now, the crew on board that boat don't realise, but they have a stowaway on board this morning in the form of our very own Clipper correspondent, Jenny Witt, who happened to board that boat earlier this morning and is now heading our direction into Derry. Good day, Sheila.
Good day, mate. How's it going? Yes, I am on board the Gold Coast Australia. Good morning, Enda. It's an amazing morning, and what an adventure it's been for the crew on board here. They crossed the finishing line at 3:30 this morning. They were expected at midnight last night, and they came in slightly later because they had an encounter with the Donegal lobster pot, and they had to disentangle themselves, believe it or not. So they were delayed, but they've made astonishing time across the North Atlantic. It's been a combination of tactics and team. They decided to go south of a really, really heavy weather system, and they've basically hitched a ride along the way, all the way from Halifax in Canada, right across to Derry. And they are just steaming up the foil. We are, I would say, near Muff at the moment. I can see Kulkira behind me. We're heading for Lissahalley. The Loch State and Seas Fisheries Patrol vessel, the Loch Braddon, is right behind us. There are camera crews on board there. There's a huge amount of excitement. And I've spoken to many crew members here on board who say they're massively excited to come into Derry. They're well aware that there's a very warm welcome waiting for them.
Yes, Jerry, I'm standing here on the site of the bonfire in Moss Park. And what I can see before me right now is maybe 10 to 15 young men basically milling around the bonfire, which is expected to be lit at 10 o'clock tonight. Some trees are being pulled over, I can see, from the Glengalla Road, and they're being pulled up on top. There's about four young fellas standing on top of the bonfire at the moment, and there has been groups of young men here all day. I was here this morning, I was back again in early afternoon, and what they say is they're somewhat guarding the bonfire. There was one young man when I arrived earlier standing on top of it, and he actually whistled, and maybe about four or five young men emerged then from the trees in the Glengalla Road. So it does seem like all eyes are on the bonfire at all times. And I've actually been speaking to some of the boys here, Jerry, and this young man we're about to hear says he can understand why people get upset at the disruption, but he's arguing at least only for one night of the year.
One night a year in the summer. There's only two nights a year I look forward to in the summer, and that's my birthday and that, because there's nothing else to do, really.
Well, there has been a festival organised, and I have been hoped that the bonfire wouldn't go ahead. Would you not go along to that for something different?
Well, it's more for the wains, if you know what I mean. Like, it's more for the younger people. Like, we're there, let's do it now, all right? I'm not going to be in this now next year again. This is my last year, so I just go right, I'll go and do it for the one last time. But I don't think it's going to get much, it's not going to get any good reception. I can tell, I know that from now. But something, it's one night a year. It's all right, it leaves a field of mess. Council come and have to clean it. We have to clean it. We don't mind that we clean it the next day, as long as it was a good night before. And that's what everybody else recognises. It's not fair that the Protestants can have one the 12th of July and us not having one on the 15th. No, that's what really winds us up.
Another incredible piece from Bernard Cooley from Donegal. Great electronica coming from Donegal, from people like Shaman Deli and Cooley, and there's more waiting in the wings. That track is called Algorithm. Time for this week's session, and this one came about by pure accident. I was walking down Magazine Street and I heard this amazing sound. I wasn't sure where it was coming from or exactly what it was, but it sounded very familiar. It reminded me of the Lekembe players in Kanono No. 1, and as I approached Magazine Gate, the sound got louder and clearer, and I saw who it was who was making this incredible sound. I immediately invited him to join us for a session on the programme. Live in studio, this is Ronan Kearney.
For us this morning. Well, there is no doubt, of course, that All Ireland final fever has gripped Donegal for the past 4 weeks, but there is added excitement among the children at Skull Column Kill in Letterkenny, where midfielder Rory Kavanagh is a teacher. And with Rory off for a few days to prepare for the final, Eric White paid the school a visit to sample the build up in the classroom.
Mr. Kavanagh is our master.
Mr. Kavanagh is our master.
Our hero and our king.
Our hero and our king.
He was only 10 years old
when we had our last win.
There may be school lessons to be learned, but with only days to go, just one subject is occupying the thoughts of these young supporters.
It's been really good to the support in school has been really good, and all you can see up there is a whole pile of posters everywhere and stuff for Rory Cabinet, the Donegal team.
I've gone up on Saturday and then stay over at my granny's and go to a match on Sunday and hopefully celebrate one.
We've just been doing Donegal stuff. We've been doing projects on Donegal players and we've been doing artwork on Donegal players too.
Even the school principal, Pori Cannon, like all of his teachers, are decked out in their Donegal jerseys in anticipation of the big day. He says the county's success can have a real influence on the classroom.
You know, this is distinctly Irish and we're tapping into that, and it's great for the children from other countries, for example.
Lojo agus Lila wo album na shatana sha cinema el mundo agus a helu le clistar weishin edir sha agus a hacht a chlog album ella ur anagamach na mo livnan kyan o Bob Dylan agus buihis le gia ta siogam os machor ta anwai ar fad mar album Tempest agus gigawunan gu Ludbug garu ege na lehenta sha tan stiel agus an chomadarat lan gomoi is a visha a riu agus heglesh maris gra an toran a chur trasna way o tempest sha Bob Dylan agus soon after midnight.
I'm searching for phrases to sing your praise.
Were you a hamburger man after the dance, were you?
Yeah, but I never had any money.
Okay. Well, you see, this is what we have to contend with.
That was the problem. But I remember you always wanted something to eat after the dance. Always.
Was that with drink taken? No, I'm trying to understand.
I understand. Yeah, but usually.
How long did it take for the drink to die in you? Now, for instance, if you were going to, our era would be, the only places we went to would have been like dances, that kind of thing. So forgive the younger listeners who do not understand this. So when we would go to dances, you see, they wouldn't serve any drink in them. Not like now you go to a club or a disco, whatever you call it, and you can drink all night. See, what you had to do was tank up before you went. So you would possibly, well, I would go out about 8, right? And then you'd drink as much as you could. But you couldn't drink too much, because if you drank too much, the guy wouldn't let you in. So you had to find that balance between drunkenness and the appearance of sobriety. Were you good at that?
Sometimes, yeah.
We ever stopped? Did somebody ever say sorry?
Oh, yes. I'm told to take a walk up to the chapel.
Was that some kind of religious advice?
No. Do you remember in one particular dance hall that I used to frequent, and uh-huh. you did too as well, and you played, and there was the Borderland, which was 5 miles in the other side.
And so you've got to ask Sinn Féin, and indeed the SDLP in the land. Yeah. But
that's a democratic process, Mike Nesbitt. But, you know, that was, okay, perhaps the timing was ill-advised, but it was still, all in all, part of a political process, unlike the distribution of leaflets by your party and the DUP.
Are we flogging dead horses?
Well, it's not about flogging dead horses, because if you say that it's those parties' fault for bringing this up in council, I will say to you, is it not your fault for putting out these leaflets, calling people onto the streets?
Giving out leaflets is part of the democratic process, Sarah. You must know that. Have you ever watched an election where people go out canvassing with leaflets? How many people took to the streets having received one of the leaflets?
I don't know. Do you know?
Yes, I do. Not one. How many
people? So none of the people that got a leaflet...
How many people took
to the streets? You can prove that none of them went out onto the street.
When the leaflets were distributed, how many people took to the streets at that point? Not one. How many people took to the streets because of the result of the vote on the 3rd of December? Everyone who took to the streets because of the vote. None took to the streets.
So are you saying then that the leaflets were fair enough?
Yeah, you were flogging a dead horse.
Well, you've walked down the road now, Mr. Nesbitt. So are you saying that the leaflets are fair enough?
Yeah, I never, ever said the leaflets were wrong.
Opportunity perhaps for St. Pat's. The keeper, Brendan Clark, is coming forward. This is surely the last opportunity. If Derry see this out, they will win the cup. The corner is going to be taken by Sean O'Connor. I think the whole ground's on their feet. In it goes. The ball's up in the air. Danger seems to have been cleared. McDade doesn't get the greatest connection on it. And it's put out for a throw-in. Surely there can't be much left. Neil Doyle has another look at his whistle. The throw-in has been, at his watch, the throw-in has been taken. There goes the final whistle. Derry City have reached the Holy Grail. They have won the FAI Cup for the fifth time in the club's history. And Declan Devine joins an elite group of managers of Jim McLaughlin, Peter Hutt, Jim McLaughlin, Felix Healy, Stephen Kenny and Kevin Mahan by guiding his club, his hometown club, to FAI Cup glory. And the players are absolutely jaded. They're hardly able to celebrate. Desi McCallion's down in touchline.
Paul! And Paul, I'm just here. Paul Hegarty's taking celebrations from his family when he's completed. I'm wondering when he's finished here celebrating with his family, get a quick word with him. Paul, sum that up for us. Absolutely delighted.
Absolutely delighted. Hey, Somstow, what a game. What an advertisement for football, hey. And you know, we had some chances to finish the game off. We didn't take it. That was going to bite us now, but what a day, hey. What a day.
Ladies and gentlemen, for as long as I can remember, he is indeed one of the first sons of Derry, Phil Coulter.
The sound of Michael Henderson, who's going to be a master of ceremonies on television for the next 2 hours. Well, that was sung from the heart and a very proud moment for Phil Coulter, performing his signature song about Derry. And he did look pretty emotional there on stage, particularly singing the bright, brand new day. Despite all his many years of performing The Town I Loved So Well, it does take on a greater resonance opening this concert tonight. His voice, husky and full of feeling, just gets better with age. He is, and I'm sure he doesn't mind me saying it, the granddaddy of tonight's show, an acclaimed composer, arranger, producer, but above all, a son of Derry.
Emotional for you too,
God,
Mrs.
I am, honestly, I did not expect to feel this way, but it is packing an emotional punch that I didn't believe would happen.
Well, it's not just Derry's musical talent that will feature tonight, Mary Louise. Yes, we've known for some time now that amongst tonight's hosts would be the actors Jimmy Nesbitt and Amanda Burton. Jimmy's a Coleraine man, of course, and Amanda's townland of Balugri, here on the banks of the Foyle, is but a mile or so from where we're sitting. So in a second or two, Mary Louise will pass it.
He said, "I need a doctor," and he rushed off. There was this girl, do you know, I don't know her name, but it doesn't matter, she was a girl. And I spoke to her, and I talked to her. She said what had happened, and I said there'd been a bomb, but she was really mashed up.
What did you say to her?
I said, was she all right? How stupid was that? She said she thought so, but she wasn't, of course.
And you could see that?
Of course I could see that. What upset me most was I could see that it was really bad. But she, luckily, was in no pain. And she said, am I badly hurt? And I said, yes. You know, I said, yes. And she said, very badly hurt. And I said, yes, very badly hurt. And she said to me, am I going to die? And I said, yes. And she said, my God. She said, just hold me, will you? So I did. And she did die. She died in a state of grace.
You've had a long career in the army, Bob. You were in Bosnia. In your many memories of war, how much has what happened in Ballykelly that night affected you?
Worst. Without doubt, the worst. Because all these people that died were so young. They were so courageous.
71266522. Our community chef is Brian McDermott. Brian.
Good afternoon, Mark.
Peri Peri Chicken.
Or Derry Derry Chicken.
Or Derry Derry Chicken.
I think we've got our own version of the Peri Peri.
What is Peri Peri?
Peri Peri is a Portuguese. It's really, it started out as being just some cayenne pepper and some chilli peppers. And it's just, it's, God, it's gone every direction now and people are claiming it and owning it. And why not? You know what? It's a mix of spices. And what I've done today, very, very simply, is I've taken my favourite spices, added them into this recipe with a little bit of lime juice to freshen it up. There's a good kick off it. It marinates the chicken, and I want to encourage people to have a go at roasting some garlic for a garlic mash today as well.
That's posh chefing.
It's not really, it sounds it, but you know, it's cut up your garlic cloves, put them into tin foil for about a half an hour, 40 minutes. Take them out and you've got a lovely sweet garlic that takes that bitterness out of it completely. In through mashed potato. They're absolutely gorgeous. It works well with this Derry Derry or Peri Peri chicken. I want to call it what you want.
John Trotter joins us on piano as well with Rick Swan, a young man that everybody's talking about. Mm-hmm. Fellas, we've two plates of this here. John, are you shy of a bit of chicken?
Not at all.
Not at all. We'll get it over to young Trotter. Let the fellas taste there just as we begin to sign them up for a final tune here. So, Brian, it's the kind of a recipe, in the absolute fairness, a lot could go wrong here, couldn't it?
It could, absolutely, because you can blow the head of someone here with the spices that's in that. And I'm not going to say nothing. I just hope there's some water nearby because I put in some chilies into that today and I just love the kick of chili coming from it.
Ho-ho!
Yeah, there you go. There's a lovely one.
Just quote this comment that you've made on Facebook about Eric McGinley, that you're talking about this motion that was passed to council. You say, what makes it all the more sickening is, quote, the shinner who put forward the proposal to block is a Scotchman. Subtitles needed. That's a cheap shot, isn't it?
It's a cheap shot, but I only stated a matter of fact. I didn't state nothing that isn't there. I stated, first of all, I've been called a racist for saying this. Now, all I did was say that I didn't understand a man. I stated where his nationality was, it was Scotch. Regardless, he could have been from anywhere. I recall maybe last year, if we look back, I think there was a show on the BBC called The Estate. Now, those people had subtitles up on that show, so was the BBC being racist by putting subtitles up?
So you're saying it would be equally acceptable to say, here's a member of the Chinese community, I need subtitles to understand them. You think that's okay?
Well, if that is the case, unless I'm only stating a matter of fact, if I don't understand something, then I'm allowed to state it.
Why do you think that the rest of the council chamber can cope with the accent and you can't?
Is that the case? Have you asked all the other members that?
Well, nobody else has complained.
Well, then obviously they're afraid to sit. They're sitting back and afraid to say anything.
So you're saying they don't understand? Sorry, just to be clear, are you saying other councillors do not understand Eric McGinley's accent?
Well, I'm sure some of my party colleagues do concur with me, and this is known within us, yes. That is the case.
Who? Which of your party colleagues concurs with you?
I'm in no position to name names here now, today. I'm not singling out anyone.
No, sit, Ger, sit.
Wait, do farmers get any compensation for that loss?
We got nothing the last time. That was a big loss, at 98, a loss. Got nothing.
And how do you recover from a loss of that scale, Ian?
You just have to. You put your head down and don't look back. If you start looking back, you'll get depressed. The Lord in control of the weather. You know, and that's it. Nothing we can do about it. Come up, has to get easy now, easy. Has to get easy. Come back, you walk on.
Well, Ian is now taking the sheep back over the mountain where they normally graze. Principally because the laneway back to the farmyard is blocked with about 40 foot of snow.
There, pick you that there. You can, they'll follow you down on them. We'll take them down and back out over the top of that way.
Are you?
Oh,
say that fun.
So, we've come to a point now where the snow is over two gates. We're going to have to try and walk a sheep over the barbed wire, which is covered by the snow. How high would that be, Ian?
Oh, 6 foot, don't I? Yeah, there was no fence to be seen. I didn't think it was as bad. We're down the hill at it now. A mile now, they'll be home. A mile and a half.
I got up as far as I went. I had one buried in along the ditch there, and I was coming. What I was doing was luck to borrow your wee trailer to.
Go
borrow,
get her. No,
I didn't.
Take her wee, sir. Take her wee. Nothing at all. That's Mr. Phillips. That's my neighbour. Have to pull together, try and get through it to win.
They travelled from Shantallow to Creggan and then Free Derry Corner.
where an effigy of Barna's Thatcher was burned in a bin. The fire ignited by Adele Kelly, niece of Patsy O'Hara, who died on hunger strike in 1981.
She could have put a stop to a lot of the hunger strikers dying, and she chose not to do that. And that's why I was proud to, on behalf of my grandmother, who's ill at the minute, to light the fire on her behalf.
Some people out there listening might think, well, what could this possibly achieve? The former Prime Minister is now dead.
She is.
And some might perceive it to be disrespectful.
Disrespectful. To some it might. Everybody's entitled to their own opinions, and that's just the way it is. You know, she didn't do anything for our country, so...
As the onlooking crowd cheered their approval, a table was strewn with coal and miners' hats, and milk was given to children. Many of those present said it symbolised what the former Prime Minister had taken from the ordinary person.
It'll make no difference. It'll make people know that we don't agree with what she did, the suffering that she put people to. It'll make no difference. It'll let them know exactly how we felt about her. And we'll not be spending £10 million on her funeral. That money should be put into hospitals.
There was cake depicting a so-called wanted poster, as anti-Thatcher songs were played, including one which caused much controversy in recent days. But those present were defiant.
Why did you feel it was so important to be here?
Because she let our own men die, the 10 hunger strikers, as I says, two from our own city. And they call a man, supposed to be hard and cold. She's the most coldest woman was ever in this earth.
But surely all of that was a long, long time ago. Is it not best left in the past?
No, I don't, because you can't, we'll never forget our history. People would try to make us forget about it. Never.
The Rolling Stones with Let's Spend the Night Together, taking us up to 11 minutes past three on the programme today, and you're very welcome indeed. I hope you're doing very well out there. Stephen McCauley with you now until 5 o'clock, and if you want to get through to the programme today, you can do so. 71266522 is the phone number. You can text on 81771, just put the word foil at the start of your message, and the email address is stephen.mccauley@bbc.co.uk. We've got three spot prizes for you on the programme today, and because it's Friday, one of them will be the £50 free football bet. So have a think of the teams that you would go for if you win the £50 free football bet. Also, we will have a quiz question just after 4 o'clock. We'll also have some classical music after four as well. But most importantly of all, we will bring to a close this week's theme, which is magic and mystery. It's been absolutely brilliant, and we're going to go out on a blast today. Now, on a Friday, we have a couple of separate rules in relation to our theme. There's the three strikes and you're in rule, which is basically for a song that we've already played this week as part of the theme. If you want to hear it again, then we need three votes for it. And if we get them, we'll play it. We also have the rule that we include the band name or the artist name in it, and we're going to try and do that one right now because we had a suggestion that came in today via email from Roisin Finnegan, and she suggested this one for our theme, the expanded theme that includes the band name, and this is the Magic Numbers with Love Me Like You.
Claire.
Absolutely. Well, the examiners that sat in front of the on the factory floor at the top end, you know, examining all the work and clipping all the threads and that, they were like our grannies. You know, we had a whole lot of grannies. They were all, we thought they were granny ages, but they probably weren't. They probably weren't.
They probably were our age. Yeah.
But like even the people that work beside you, say the married ones with children and that, they would have given you advice and that, and you could have confided in them and talked to them after a night out. Maybe if you had had a good night, you could have talked about it. If you had a bad night, they would have comforted you, you know, that sort of thing.
But Claire, sometimes you hear that this was a wonderfully empowering thing. There's you 15 with a packet of money in the back pocket. You can go back to the family and say to what your mummy or what was the dealer? Did you get to keep it or
no? Didn't get to keep it all, of course not. You went home and you gave your mother some of it, and then the rest you used for the usual things, the makeup and the clothes and the dances and
but
that,
this is
you know?
What's lost to a whole generation now. I mean, so much unemployment these days, Isabel. I think we forget that, you know, of a Friday or what, Saturday night in Derry, the shirt factory girls were the bottom line for fashion and dancing and a whole scene that's lost.
For sure, Mark. You would have seen the girls coming up into the dance hall with their can-cans, the smell of pagan perfume.
What's a can-can?
The can-can petticoats.
Right.
And their stiletto heels. And I mean, it was just a glamorous time, sort of, to be alive. Going on to the Cranthill on the Saturday night. Mm. Maybe there was a big band in the Guildhall, you would have went there, you know.
But was there a sense, I'm interested, Claire, that the girls had cash in there and a lot of the fellas were unemployed? Was there a sense of that? Or?
Well, I could vouch for that because I have three brothers who had to go to England around there that time, go. Late 50s, early 60s. Go. And that's like 50 odd years ago, Mark, and they're still there. Is they're still right? In England, yeah. Never got home. There was no work.
And you're listening to Pure Culture. Michael Bradley here with a look at what's happening in and around and up and down our city of culture. John and Damien O'Neill are here to talk about the music for Re-Energise, the Gary Mitchell play which opened last night in the Playhouse. An international film festival complete with the directors in Malin Town and Memories of Hunter's Bakery, the latest in our portrait of a city. You can check out the photo on our culture page, bbc.co.uk/radiofoil.
This is Pure Culture
on BBC Radio 4,
live from the UK City of Culture 2013.
And we also have live music today from the Verbal Arts Centre. Eve Blair, you have a very talented young man there with you.
I do indeed. Good morning, Michael. As you say, I'm standing here in the studio at the Verbal Arts Centre. With me, 17-year-old Dan. He has brought his keyboard and he's going to play for us one of his own songs, Radio.
Turn me on, turn me
up. I'm in Andy Ferguson's on William Street. Left Amy outside in the pram sitting. She was only weeks old. The shop was packed with clothes, so you couldn't really get a pram on. So I went on and kept keeping a wee eye on the pram outside. And when I looked out, one time Sheila was standing at the pram. So I went out there and she asked me, was it a wee boy or a wee girl? And I was telling her it was a girl and what age was it? And the next thing then, she asked me then, have you money? So I thought, right, this is for a wee drink problem that she had. So I gave her a pound and the next thing she put her head right under the pram and was chatting away to the baby, lifted her head out and says, thank you. And away she went and waved and God bless and all the rest of it. And I happened to look under the pram to make sure Amy was all right and hear the pound was sitting in the pram beside her. And I thought, that critter has nothing. And maybe that pound was her only money that morning sort of thing. And here she's give it to the baby.
Unbelievable, the mighty Labyrinth there, Stephen doing the interview beforehand. I'm joined outside the venue by the Dungiven Massive. Birthday girl, Kirsty, what about the gig, Kirsty?
It's my birthday today, so happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday, you. Who are we in to see there?
Essay.
Give us a tune.
Missed the whole game twice. Tell you how I live. I've been working on my shit.
Brilliant. What else would you get out of it? Just a moment here outside the venue with the Dungiven girls. Brilliant. Listen, who would pull my shoulder just 2 seconds ago than the mighty Soak Bridie? How are you keeping?
I'm keeping great, hey.
Good, good, good. What impressions? I mean, the whole thousands of them are just coming out of the venue as we started this little piece. What's your impression of the whole thing?
The new venue's unreal. Like, Azalea was the best thing so far. And Falls were incredible. This whole festival's amazing.
Do I imagine he no longer trembles when I come close to him? He seems no longer to tremble. But this morning, the shoebox house on the back porch is empty. Where has he gone, my meadow mouse? My thumb of a child that nuzzled in my palm. To run under the hawk's wing, under the eye of the great owl, watching from the elm tree, to live by courtesy of the shrike and the snake and the tomcat. I think of the nestling fallen into the deep grass, the turtle gasping in the dusty rubble of the highway, the paralytic stunned in the tub, and the water rising. All things innocent, hapless, forsaken.